This recording is being made by Patricia Robinson, committee member of the Rowlands Castle Historical Society. The interviewee is Mrs. Emily Olson, née White, a long-term resident of the village. The purpose of making this recording is for archiving the history of Rowlands Castle Village. The date of this recording is the 7th of November 2021, and the reference number for it is 21/1. So, welcome, Emily. I'm looking forward to hearing your story. When and where?
So, I was born, my parents had already moved to the village when I was born. Neither of them were from Rowlands Castle, but they moved here in the early 1980s, and after they'd been married for a few years. And we lived in 765 Castle Road at that time, and I was born at St Mary's Hospital in December of 1984, which apparently was the same year that Do They Know It's Christmas was released. So that was playing everywhere, much to my mum's annoyance. a couple of years later, after I was born, they moved to 18 Castle Road, which was a bigger house on the other side of the road, next to the footpath that crosses across the golf course. And it was in a very run-down state when they bought it. And my mum thought my dad, who had decided that he wanted to buy this house with a very young child, was absolutely completely insane to want to buy this house, which was an old shop. It was a converted, had still been left largely in the layout of a shop. So the family home was in the back of the house, and the front room was just a large open space, really. So since they moved in, they've redesigned the house. But
do you know what they sold in the shop?
It was a general store. Mm-hmm. And there's some photos of the house as a shop. I think the family that lived, who they bought it off of, I don't think they ever ran it as a shop. But it still had that massive shop front window. And even today, in 2021, there's bike rack markings in their driveway from where they used to have bikes lined up to visit the store. Mm-hmm. So they took over that in, I think, 1987, 88. And I've lived in that house until I set up my own house as an adult, really, and moved out to Portsmouth temporarily and then back to the village again this year. So that's a very quick history of where I've lived in the village. Mm. Castle Road is my home, I suppose, living in those two addresses, 65 and 18 Castle Road, but never very much further away.
And at the back of the golf course.
So as a child, I remember all the time getting golf balls in the back garden and being sent down the garden to look for golf balls and collecting them all up. But I very rarely remember anyone coming to look for their golf balls.
You didn't throw them back.
No, I think they got taken to work, my dad's work, and he gave them to his to his pals, because he thought, well, if they're not claimed, I might as well do something with them. But we always, they all often have parties and what have you at the golf club. So again, memories of hearing social events and people stumbling along the golf course late in the evening after those events. Mm-hmm. When I was old enough, I went to nursery school in the village, which at that time was in the building opposite the St John's Church. I think it's now converted into houses, but it was the old, what was originally in the village, the school, the old school, but by the time that I went there, it was just for the nursery age children. And I went there. And I didn't have memories of like the little milk bottles and glass milk bottles, which was sort of one of the last, I think that was taken away in the 80s at some point, milk for children. But I do remember having that for several years whilst I was there. And they had a big, one of the rooms was, because it was an old Victorian school, like the ceilings were really high. And I remember they had this massive climbing frame in one room, and it was such a treat to be allowed to go and climb really high. And I mean, probably wasn't very high at all when you think about it, but it seemed huge at the time. But I kind of have jumped ahead a little bit, because I actually went to a childminder in the village when my mum went back to work after her maternity leave, to a childminder who lived in the Drift, and she was quite well known in the village and had lots of children. And when I went there, she was just kind of saying, oh, I'm thinking about retiring and giving it all up. My mum said, oh, I've heard that you're the only childminder in the village. Would you please take my child? Sure, okay. But this lady went on to have probably tens, if not hundreds, more children after me that she looked after. Lots of children in the village. And she became such a member of the family, really, that she, like, we called her auntie, and she and her husband and son used to, adult son, would take me, walk me to school or pick me up from school along with all the other children. And they
nice,
just
nice
a love, yeah, a lovely family, and just became a real part of the family. And I know so many people in the village, because either they went there too, or I know their parents. And she used to, one of the things I remember, she used to hold a tea party on your birthday. So she would do a special tea for all of the children that went to the childminders on your birthday. And she would cut like sandwiches into shapes, and you would always have like little cheesy biscuits, and she would always get a cake. And it was just like a really nice little family unit. And all the parents would go out for a Christmas do together down to the village and have a meal and everything. So it was just quite a like idyllic childhood, I suppose, in a village childhood.
And then you started school.
And then I started school in 1990, I think it was, yeah, at St John's. It seemed like such a big school at that time, but it obviously was, it's still quite a small school even today, so it really wasn't that big. But that's when you kind of met all the other children of your age in the village, because I think there was a class of sort of about 30 children, and some of the children who came from Finch Dean and sort of Dean Lane End, they got the bus, the bus up to school. In my mind, that was really fancy, because I had to walk to school and I never really used the bus. So the bus was very exciting. And I remember being very jealous, because I only ever got to go on the bus when I went to go and see my gran. My gran lived up in Shropshire, so I only saw her sort of a couple of times a year. So the bus was very exciting.
Good days at school?
Good days at school. In terms of my memories of school, they were again just really happy days, and we had a big field to play on and playground areas to play in on when it was wet, and there was a bike shed which blew down in the big storm in the late 80s. And after that, the storm only was allowed, like we weren't allowed to use the bike shed after that, but we could use it to store things in. And I remember every year at the school, they would take part in the Blue Peter collections. You know, they bring them by sales and the Blue Peter collecting aluminium tin cans before everyone did recycling at home. And that they were stored in the bike shed because that was the only thing that was safe to be stored in this bike shed after it had blown down. But I stayed there throughout all my primary school education and secondary school education. And that school had really strong village links, so it often got involved in it would have its Christmas nativity show thing at St John's Church. We had the harvest festival every year, and I was part of the country dancing club after school club, country dancing after school club, and we would always perform at the village fair and do some country dancing.
Village fair seems to be quite prominent in people's minds.
When they were young. When I was young, my main recollections of the village fair were, funnily enough, of the WI stall and the human fruit machine. I remember that quite clearly. And also I took part a couple of years in the horticultural show in the children's sections. Two years I remember very clearly building it, so it must have been about the same year that the Eurotunnel, because they would often do a theme that was kind of related to something that happened that year. And you had to build the Eurotunnel in a seed tray. And so I remember one year building the Eurotunnel in a seed tray, and another year it was the pyramids. And this, because at the time I thought it was absolutely genius, I remember building the pyramids in a seed tray out of brown sugar cubes, because they were what I thought looked like little sand cubes. So, yeah, I can't recall whether or not I won or even like came second or third, but I do remember taking part in the horticultural show. And I remember sort of every year the excitement of getting that village fair magazine through the front door and thinking, oh, the village fair's coming up, and what am I going to do this year?
Did the village fair change gradually over the years?
I certainly remember sort of looking back on it, I don't think I probably realised at the time, but I do remember sort of all of a sudden it was things not just in the village, but you would have like the big sort of like the fairground rides and stuff coming in. So in hindsight, it got a lot more commercial, whereas it was quite small at first. I mean, the horticultural show when I was a child wasn't held like it is now in a marquee on the green. It was held in the parish hall, so you would have the fair on the green and the horticultural show in the hall, and it always used to be like that. And I don't know when they moved it into the marquee, so it has definitely changed. And as I said, there used to be country dancing from the school, and I think the school choir would always do a little sing song
instead of the roundabouts that they've had.
Yeah, they don't, and they seem to have a lot more sort of outside things. Whereas I also was in the Brownies and the Guides when I was old enough, and they always used to have a stall. And I remember one year the Guides doing face painting. Not the guides themselves, but the guide leaders. I don't think they'd have allowed the guides free rein with face paint, but I do remember my mum and volunteering to help out on the face painting stall.
Oh, not to have a face painting.
No. Not at all. But it So those are my memories of the village fair. And yeah, I think that's...
For the millennium.
For the millennium, I remember that we had... We went to my childminders, funnily enough, for the millennium Eve. She did a dinner party type thing, and then we had fireworks in her garden. But the big celebration on the actual evening was down at Deerleap, and they had lots and lots of fireworks going off, and we could see them from her back garden. So we got this grand display without having to kind of be with the hordes of people that had paid to be at the official display, and had it was a lovely evening. And then I think it was the next day, they had a photograph of everyone who lived in the village on the village green. I'm sure it was for that. But I certainly have a memory of coming down to the village green and having, it was sort of an aerial photograph of everyone who lived in the village, who came down. I mean, I'm sure there are people who were still...
That would have been January?
I think it was it must have been January 2000. I believe the photograph is now on the wall in the parish hall.
Oh.
But I'm there on the right hand side of the photograph. Uh-huh. I remember with my mum and dad, probably peering out from behind one of them.
Any other things that happened with parties or whatever?
I do recall, I think it was 1994, when the Tour de France came through the village, all the children that went to the school had the day off. So it was all very exciting to have an extra day off school in the middle of summer term or what have you. And the Tour de France came along the village green and then up Red Hill Road and I think down Witch's Gate, if my memory serves correctly, and on into Havant. But my mum had the day off work and her boss came down as well because he was a big cycling fan. And we all attended this party in Red Hill Road about halfway up, just before what used to be, I think, at the television shop, which was halfway up Red Hill Road. I can't remember if the television shop was still open or not at that point. I don't think, I obviously was so young that I would never have gone into a shop to buy a television. But the party there and just everyone being on the street and sort of hearing from down in the village the noise increased because you thought, oh, they're coming. And it was over within seconds. All these hundreds of cyclists went past in like a minute or whatever. And you'd have to, we'd been celebrating all morning and quick 5 seconds flash past and then they were on again.
Even so, it stuck in your mind.
It did, yeah. And I can recall exactly who was there. I think it was the one and only time I'd ever met my mum's boss as well. So it was kind of very strong memory. It must have just been at that age.
Were lots of villagers out in the street
watching? Loads of villagers out in the street, which is complete polar opposite to one of the other events that I remember, which I possibly was around the same sort of age, which was the death of Princess Diana. And I just remember that day, I think I went to the post box because I'm about, I think, 6 months younger than Prince Harry or something like that. So I'm sort of that age. And I just remember the streets being absolutely dead. There was no, when her funeral was on the television, it was absolutely dead in the village. There was no one around. And I can't remember the reason why I was out, whether I'd been somewhere and had to come back. But I only walked the 100 yards between what was my childminder's house and my family home. But I don't think I saw a soul. And it was probably a Saturday morning, which so it would be very unusual not to see anybody out and about. But I suppose that just goes to show the impact of that event on the village, really, even though it was sort of miles away. And there's lots of happy events for the Jubilees and stuff like that, but also solemn events too, really.
You mentioned earlier about the being in the Brownies and the guides. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go with a group away or camping or anything?
We did have 1 week away, I think it was. I think in the guides, not as the Brownies, we didn't go away, but in the guides we went to Brownsea Island for a week. And it was only a small group from Roland's Castle guides, but we met up with lots of other guide groups, and it was sort of like a jamboree type event on Brownsea Island, and doing nature walks and all that kind of things.
I'm interested in the Brownies and the guides, you going to where the Scout Hut is,
yes,
for that, because from where you live, that's a walk, but you would have to go on all those back alleyways. There are lots of back alleyways in Roland's Castle.
There is lots of back alleyways in Roland's Castle. So I was always taken to the Brownies or guides by either my mum or my best friend at that time's mum. They would take it in turns to take us down to the Scout or Guide Hut, because it is quite a lonely, dark place to go to. Certainly it felt very lonely and a little bit sort of secluded and isolated, but it kind of had that kind of a little bit mysterious feeling.
Did you walk on the streets or did you go on the alleyways?
We would walk on the streets. I would use the cut-throughs when I was a little bit older, but I know that my mum was, and well, my mum and dad, and it wasn't just my mum, but my mum and dad were not nervous, but they would sort of say, walk the long way round, because I lived right next to the golf course and the footpath. Like, it was quite old before I got to, you can cut across the golf course to go down to the village. It would always be walk up Castle Road and down Redhill Road to get to the village, not across the golf course. Mm-hmm. And even to date, though, if it's the middle of, or if it's dark, it's kind of stuck in my mind, and I wouldn't really cross the golf course on my own.
Would you remember William and Kate's wedding in 2011?
I do recall it. I was on holiday, though, in Cornwall at the time, so I didn't get involved in any of the parties here in the village. But I do recall it being a big event that everyone got involved in. Trying to think if there's any other events that I recall. Probably jumping about a bit, I remember there was it was the anniversary, I think, of the end of, so it must have been VE Day, so it must have been like 1995 or something like that. It was a big celebration and all the school children got a mug to celebrate, and I still have my mug. I can picture it, but I can't for the life of me think what the date is on it. I think it must have been 1995 or something, but it celebrated.
It ended in 45.
Oh, so it's probably 95 then. Mm. Yeah. Mm. But they had, I can recall they had something on the green for that as well. But I must have only been about 11, well, 10 at the time, if it was 1995. So,
any of the other celebrations, the Queen's 90th birthday or the Diamond Jubilee, or
no? For me, I don't really remember those sorts of events. I suppose when you're a child, they don't necessarily quite have as much meaning as perhaps they do when you're older. But because I wasn't, that time, I wasn't sort of in the brownies or the guides. I'm trying to think what I was doing in 2012. No, I can't even think right off the top of my head.
So what about senior school?
I finished at St John's, I went to Horndean Secondary School. And that's when I had to get the bus at that point. So that was, again, quite exciting. Having wanted to get the bus to go to school when I was sort of 4 or 5, I was now having to get the bus every day to go to senior school. So that was a big step, because until that point I'd only walked around the corner to school 100 yards, and now I was having to navigate getting on a bus going to school. And quite a few, well, my year at St John's, I think there was about, of the 30 children that left St John's, I think we went to about 10 different senior schools. Some went to different private schools, others went to Southbourne and what was Staunton School at the time. But quite a bunch went to Horndean, so I was able to kind of keep some of my friendship groups going. And I stayed there throughout my secondary education. It was okay. I was all right at school. I maintained those friendships. And when I was about, I must have been 16, I got my Saturday job or after school job, and I worked in the what is now the Londis, but at the time was Castle Stores, and worked there in the evenings 2 or 3 times a week, and on the Saturday. And that stood me all the way through college, and when I was away at university. And then when I'd come back from university for holidays and stuff, I went back to the village shop and worked in there. So I worked in there for many years and met many other people in the village and saw the village change over that time. So the drugstore that was on the village green, that closed and turned into the vet surgery.
When you say the drugstore, what was it? It
was
pharmacy?
Called, well, no, I don't think it ever sold medication. I have very hazy memories of actually ever going in there. But I think it sold things like bath bubbles and flannels and hot water bottles. It's kind of more like a Boots, but without the medication. So that was then turned into the vet surgery.
And that was that before the pharmacy that we have now?
Yes, so the pharmacy that we have now... I remember, well, the doctor's surgery used to be next to what is now the Londis. That's my first memory of the doctors. Yeah, on the other side of the road, between what is now the Londis and the hardware. That's where the doctor's surgery was. That's my first recollection of where the doctor's surgery was. And I want to say that the general shop, the general stores, was up Bowes Hill, just around the corner there. But now I feel like I'm imagining that. But that's where I have in my head that the shop was. And I remember my dad always used, and still does to this day, gets a paper every morning, walks down to the village, buys his paper and goes back home. And I remember walking down, even when I was quite tiny, with him to get his paper and go back home. To the extent that, because my mum went out to work, a lot of people knew my dad and thought he was a single parent because they would see me and him around the village a lot, but very rarely me, him and my mum. So And he worked shift, so he would sometimes pick me up from school as well. So he got this reputation as being a single dad, much to my mum's annoyance, I think.
Your position in the a general store,
yes,
would have allowed you to know all the village gossip.
Yes, very discreet though. I'm very discreet. I used to know exactly what people bought and how frequently they bought it. So I remember one quite well-respected lady in the village. I don't even know if she's still alive, but her bottles of gin, how often she would buy a bottle of gin, and I'd think, goodness. Okay, so then she'd come in a few days later, another bottle of gin. My goodness, should you be driving around the village? I remember another gentleman who used to make me swear that I would never tell his wife that he smoked. But he would come in every week and buy his cigarettes. And I thought, if you were that worried about it, why would you not buy them outside of the village? If you were that concerned about your wife finding out, because she could pop into the shop at any minute while you were here. But and I was really lucky that my time at the village shop, there some of the other sort of Saturday staff were boy, two of them, two boys that I went to school, well, to nursery school and primary school with. So we'd kind of, well, gone to just followed each other through, really. But I think the village shop was a big part of my childhood and being part of the village. And that's where I got to know a lot of people, as you say, a lot of people. And you would meet maybe the husband, because the husband would come in every morning and buy his paper. And then you might meet the wife, and you wouldn't necessarily put the couple together in your mind because you'd meet them separately. And then you'd meet them together and you'd think, oh, I've known you both, but I've never seen you as a couple or as a family. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of staff there that were there for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And then just before after I came back from uni in 2006, so I left after secondary school.
Which uni?
I went off to Lancaster University. To study politics degree. And as I said, I kept coming back down here for Christmases and Easter and what have you. And I've lost the thread.
You wouldn't have worked in the village, would you, with a politics degree?
No, but I did work in the summers and at Christmas in the shop. That was where I was going. And after I finished university, I was going to go backpacking. So I finished university in the September or the July, but my grand tour wasn't, and I was leaving on Boxing Day of the same year. So I had sort of 6 months where I worked in the shop as many hours as I could get to save up for this grand tour. And by that point they had a bakery at the back of the shop with a counter that sold filled rolls. And it's funny because I know that you haven't lived in the village that long, so I'm thinking, of course, and the bakery's not even there now, and it just goes to show how quickly things change, because it felt to me like it was quite new and exciting, because it had only just been put in, but and now it's already gone. But I spent hours in this bakery making donuts, And I, do you know what? I can't eat a donut today. The hundreds of donuts during these 6 months that I'd make, or croissants and filled rolls, put me off for life. And I'm trying to think of other things that I remember from the show. I do remember as well Lady Besborough, who lived at Stansted House. She always used to come down in person and pay her newspaper bill. The shop served quite a wide range of, as I said, all the way out there and Finch Dean, Dean Lane End, and the village, in terms of delivering newspapers and
things.
Was
there a youth club at all in the village?
Not that I recall. I went to Brownies and Guides, but I don't recall there being another youth club. I believe there might have been a church youth club, but I didn't go to any of the churches or their associated groups. I was christened at the St John's Church in 1985. And for a few years I attended the Sunday school there. May not even have been a few years, may have just been a year, but we did one of the things I recall when we were at Sunday school was we'd come home with like a little A5 leaflet with stories and activities and puzzles, and we also did a big water aid drive for clean water, and that's, I think, the photo of me at Sunday school. That's the only kind of... And that the Sunday school at that time was in the St John's Church Hall, which has now been demolished, which kind of sat parallel to Red Hill Road. And that had two halls with a little kitchen. And I also remember my mum and another mum hired the hall because one of the boys who I went to school with, he had his birthday was exactly the same day as mine, day and year, and we had a joint birthday one year at the church hall.
So you grew up in all of this village life.
Yeah.
And you went to university and you studied politics. What did you plan to do, and what did you do?
Well, to be honest, between Horndean and going off to university, I did go to Havant College, actually. And I remember talking to the careers advisor there, thinking and saying to them, oh, I'm 17 years old, or however I was at the time, and I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I really don't. Because a lot of people have a massive passion to do what they want to do. And they said, it doesn't matter. You're only really young. Please don't worry about it. But, it was quite anxiety provoking for me at the time. So he said, what are you interested in? And that's kind of... I remember talking about being interested in social injustice and things like that when I was an angsty teenager. And enjoying working with people and talking to people. And so they suggested, why didn't I go off and get quite a generic degree, but one that would perhaps stand me in good stead to go and do a wide range of things, either later down the line law or the Foreign Service. That always used to come up in my careers. Suggestions. So I looked at various universities and looked at various courses and thought, oh, politics, I've never thought of that. It didn't really mean much to me, but we travelled up to have a look around the university and really liked it and really liked the degree and what it kind of promised to do. And that's where I went up there for 3 years and studied that. And towards the end of that, I still thought, I really enjoyed my politics degree, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do at that point. I knew I didn't want to become a politician. So, as I've mentioned, went backpacking after university, where I met my husband while I was backpacking. Came back to the UK and thought, oh, I better get a job. And started doing, applied for various jobs and ended up getting a job as an business administrator for social services in Portsmouth. And thought, well, this will tide me over until I decide what it is exactly that I want to do. Still living in Rowlands Castle with my parents after coming back from backpacking. And got that job as a business administrator, really enjoyed it, really loved the social workers that I was working with, and thought, actually, this is what I want to do. So they had some unpaid social work positions. All you needed was experience of working with young people.
Unpaid?
No, it was paid. It was just you needed experience of working with young people in an interest, and I had my degree and under my belt sort of thing. So I did some voluntary work where I supported young people that had been arrested as an appropriate adult. So I would, in the middle of the night, it was out of hours service. So in the middle of the night, I'd often be called up to say, could you please go to Fareham Police Station to represent this young person that's been arrested. So off I'd go. And that's doing that for sort of however many months is what really stood me in good stead to get the job as an unqualified social worker. And then after I'd done that for a little while, I thought, yes, this is definitely the career I want to go into, and retrained to become a social worker, which is where I am today, working as a social worker.
How long has that been?
It was in 2007 that I got the business administrator job. So I did that for about a year and a half. And then, trying to think, did my degree. So I think I qualified in about 2015, 16. As a social worker.
In where?
Where did I qualify?
Where did you work?
Where did I work? Portsmouth. I've always worked in Portsmouth. Yeah, in Portsmouth Children's Services, working with vulnerable children.
Mm-hmm. So when did you move out of the village?
I moved out of the village. I was trying to think of this. So I mentioned that I met my husband when I was backpacking. And he moved over in 2008, I think it was. You'd think I'd remember that more clearly. From America. So he's American, and we met when I was backpacking across America. And we met and kind of something clicked. And I thought, oh, I'll keep in touch with you. And he, funnily enough, his first memory of the village is the village fair, because he came over here for a holiday, ostensibly, to come to the UK for a holiday and see me. And it was the village fair weekend, and he remembers coming down to the village green, me bringing him down to the village green and showing him around the village fair, and he thought, oh, isn't this quaint and lovely and charming? And within the year, he'd moved over here to come and study at Portsmouth University to do his master's in fine art. And he moved in with me and my parents. And we stayed there until about 2013, 2014. And then he and I moved out to our own house in Portsmouth and were there. We got married in 2015, and we got married at Stansted House and had our wedding reception in the parish hall. And American tradition, we had the rehearsal dinner the night before at what was the Indian restaurant in the village at the time, which was next to the fountain. There was a restaurant in the bar is on the left hand side, if you're looking at it, of the fountain, and then the right hand side was an Indian restaurant called the Taste of India, which is a beautiful Indian restaurant. We had our rehearsal dinner there for about 12-15 people the night before we got married, had dinner there. But actually that had been a restaurant that we'd been to a number of times, and before it was an Indian restaurant, it was an Italian restaurant. And I remember going with friends there for a meal, and before that it was a Thai restaurant. So it's really sad to see that it's not a restaurant there now, because it kind of has all those memories of my sort of late teens or late teens, early 20s of going out for meals with friends and sort of with my husband. So it's quite sad to see that no longer is a restaurant.
So you came back to live in the village?
And then we came back to live in the village earlier this year, 2021. It was always our intention to move back to the village as soon as we could afford to do so.
It's expensive.
It is expensive. And I think it was a real heartbreaking situation to think when we first moved. I mean, the whole reason we moved to Portsmouth was because we couldn't afford to live in the village, otherwise we would have loved to stay. But on our two salaries at that time, it was just not affordable. So we had to look to a city. It had its benefits, probably when you're a bit younger and want to go out for dinner or out for the night. It was okay. But my heart always belonged to the village, I suppose, and it probably sounds a bit corny to say that, but he grew up in the country, in the States, and I've always considered myself to be a village girl. So kind of living in a city was both strange to us, although we'd lived in cities before, like when I lived in Lancaster. That was like a huge culture shock, leaving Rowlands Castle to go in. And Lancaster's not a huge city, but it was still a big culture shock to think that you lived with however many hundred people and then you're going off to live with thousands of people and you don't really see the same people day in, day out. Whereas living in a village, you do see people that you know on a regular basis. And
yeah, and you had joined the WI. Were you coming back for those meetings?
Yeah, so I joined the WI just after I got married in 2015. I joined the WI. I attended a few meetings with my mum, who had joined just after she retired. And she said, oh, you'd really enjoy it. They're lovely women. You should come along. And because I'd moved out of home, it was a really nice thing for me and my mum to do together, to go to the WI meetings. So I'd travel back over from Portsmouth, go to the WI meeting in the evening and stay in Rowlands Castle that night, overnight, and go back to work the next day. So it meant also that I got to have my mum cook for me and see my dad. So I joined in 2017. It was about the first part of the year, early 2017. And I was one of the youngest members to join. I think there's probably quite an age gap between me and even the next youngest person at that time. But everyone was so welcoming and so kind, and I was a bit nervous about attending, because I thought they might think, what's she doing here, you know, just kind of, and everyone would be crafty and everyone would be able to bake and it would be really not my cup of tea. But actually, no, and knowing that my mum enjoyed it, because she's not crafty and she's not someone, like, she does make good cakes, but she's not someone who is sort of really into all that either. I thought, well, it must be okay then. So I did go along, and it really welcomed. And I think it was only sort of in possibly the following year or 18 months later that I was asked to join the committee of the WI, and under the presidency of Sarah Lee at that time was president. And then I've been on committee since that time. And then in 2019, I was elected as vice president of the WI, with a view that would I stand in 2020 to be president of the WI. And I said yes, and I was voted in. So that's how I came to be president of Rowlands Castle WI. But it's been absolutely wonderful. It's been such a lovely experience, and I'm always so honoured to call myself the president of the Rowlands Castle WI, because they really, and I genuinely mean every single member, I think, is such an inspiration. They're a real wonderful bunch of women who have such interesting, diverse lives and histories, and they all do all kinds of things. And they're all so welcome. It really is not just Jam and Jerusalem. There's so you just find, and you only find out snippets, and it's so intriguing to me. So you will be talking to someone and they say, oh yes, when I was doing X, Y, and Z, and you think, but you're a little old lady. And then you think, well, no, that's because these are women who have had careers and had families and done lots of things, and you are just, quite often you just see a snapshot of their lives. But they really are, in the WI's kind of motto is inspiring women. And at the fair earlier today, the autumn fair, someone saw that and said, so is the WI inspiring women, or are they inspiring women? And it's so much as both, that they are a bunch of inspiring women and they are inspiring other women. So we have done things a little bit differently over the last few years.
But also, you took that on, and then you were newly pregnant.
I was.
Must have been the only pregnant and the youngest president of the Rowlands Castle WI.
Yeah, well, going back to some of our older members, they don't recall a president ever being pregnant. So when I was asked if I would consider becoming president, I said yes, of course, no problem at all. And then very quickly after I said that, found out that I was having my first child. And a couple of members said to me, oh well, you won't want to do it now then. And I took that as a bit of a challenge. I don't like being told what to do. I'm quite independent minded, and I was like, no, I will do that. I will, even, you know, that's just the way I am. So no, I definitely will do it. There is no way I am missing a meeting, because the WI is that important to me. And when I was elected, it was obviously the COVID. So our last meeting was in March 2019, face-to-face meeting before COVID was in March 2019. And that month we had had our meeting at St John's Church, which is quite unusual, because the boiler had broken at the parish hall. And I remember people talking about, oh, have you heard about this? There's this disease that's kind of going around. And I remember that evening we had this craft evening, and it's so it's such a vivid memory. I can imagine it being there in years and years and years to come, that everyone was at the different tables and sort of some people saying, oh yeah, I'm thinking, oh, you know, this doesn't sound good. And we just had this big drive, a big push to recruit new WI members. We'd had a village, all the village groups and stuff had a show thing at the church where everyone was recruiting for different groups. So there was people recruiting for the tennis club and the WI, the historical society, and we'd had about 8 or 9 new women who'd said, oh yes, I'd be interested in joining. And so we'd had this craft evening and it had gone really well, and lots of these women said, oh yes, we're very interested in joining. Excellent. And then COVID struck and we went into lockdown and we were really thrown off course for several months. And we thought about it for a little while, and then we thought, well, there's no choice, no option, we're going to have to go online. So we had Zoom we started Zoom meetings in about the September of 2020, with the committee having, and that kind of worked really well with being pregnant as well, because I didn't have to leave my house, I could just do the meetings from the comfort of my spare bedroom. And given the kind of the average age of our membership, which probably is in its 70s, 80s, the thing about the WI is we never ask your age, so everyone can be 40 for the rest of their lives. I would imagine our average age is sort of 70 or plus. So trying to get a lot of 70 plus age people to access Zoom meetings, we offered outreach, telephone advice, and we were so proud of our members, because over 50%, if not nearer 60 or 70% of our members accessed at least one online Zoom meeting. It's not for everyone's taste, but we managed to keep going throughout the whole of lockdown. When restrictions lifted, we began hosting small gatherings in people's gardens.
Very successfully.
It was really popular with our members because it really meant people got to know each other more. And actually, we were one of the few groups in Hampshire, certainly, that saw our membership grow during lockdown rather than close, because sadly some WIs closed because of people weren't interested in doing anything online or adapting in any way, and it's such a shame.
A lot of them didn't have the advantage of having recruited some younger members.
Yes, so I suppose that was kind of one of the things, is the driving force. But certainly last November, November 2020, I remember having a committee meeting scheduled for November the 24th, it was, and Tina, my due date was the 25th. And I remember saying, I will try and host that meeting, chair that meeting, but I might not be able to. And I did. I chaired the meeting and then said, oh, well, any day now. And then the next day had my daughter. So my other...
Which delighted all the members.
It did. Everyone was so welcoming of my daughter as like an additional WI member. I was overwhelmed by support and love and generosity and cards and It was such a lovely, special time. And
this year, a special year?
This year is a wonderfully special year for RWI. We're 75 years old. We've been running consistently as a WI for 75 years. And so that's a real proud moment for me as president as well, seeing our 75th birthday celebrations, which have had to be a bit curtailed because of the COVID restrictions still in place. We had a whole birthday tea celebration event planned. We were still able to have the flag raised on the green to celebrate our 75 years, and then we were able to have a Zoom meeting.
Which month was it?
I was in May. May. And then we've kind of had special speakers planned for for the whole year, really. We've got some of our members speaking about their own life. We've had members speak about things that have happened to them. We've had special newsletters where members have shared memories or kind of little bits of life stories, because we feel it's really important to capture all of this for our own archives, that, as I said previously, that we are a bunch of inspiring women and have been like that since for 75 years now.
How many members have you got?
We've just gone up to, I had an email from our secretary last week to say that we'd recruited another new member. So I think we're up to 98 now.
98 in a COVID year.
In a COVID year. We stayed the same because sadly an older member who'd been a member for a number of years has decided that she's now a bit too frail to come to meetings, and she will be letting her membership lapse. Which is sad, but completely understandable.
She won't be forgotten.
She won't be forgotten. And that's another lovely thing about the WI, is even members who have let their membership lapse or, you know, have moved out of the area, everyone is still so connected to them. We we often have memory. If we find out that some member's passed away, whether they're a present member or a member who has been long-standing but has not, for one reason or another, come for many years, we often pay tribute to them or do a little collection, and we plant trees in their memory at Stansted. But the WI has been in a lot of people's lives in the village, and when you look through the archives and you see names and you think, oh, they're still a member. Or I had an email earlier on in the year from someone who said, I've just been sorting out my late mother's things, and I've come across a photo album of WI Drama Club. She doesn't live in Rowland's Castle. I don't even think she lived in Hampshire. Would you like it for your archives? Yes, please. So she put it in the post to us. So we received that earlier on in the year. So it's nice to think that even though sort of these people may have moved out of the village, that the Rowland's Castle WI still means so much to them. And I hope that it will continue for another 75 years.
Thank you very much, Emily. That was really inspiring.
Thank you.